Welcome to worship tonight as we gather once again in the house of our Lord so that we can be edified by His Word, so we can be built up and strengthened in that trust we have in Christ as our Savior. So I welcome you to worship, a special welcome to the visitors who are among us. I'm glad that you chose to worship with us tonight. Today we're celebrating the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. That Pentecost season this year, we're looking at how the Christian grows. And tonight in particular, we see how the Christian grows as the Lord brings about fruits of faith within us. As faith is implanted in our heart, Christ who plants it there, the Holy Spirit who makes that grow, and what it does is it produces a life of service to Him and to one another. And by that very growth, by that very producing of the fruits of faith, as we call them, we expand. We grow in our relationship with our Savior. And so we rejoice in that. We sing for joy in that growth within us. We follow the order of service printed in your worship bulletin beginning on page 5. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and to serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy and to bring forth fruits in faith and hope and love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn our attention now to God's holy word appointed for us today, so that we can grow and be edified by it this eighth Sunday after Pentecost. And in these readings, we see about how God spreads the seeds of the gospel throughout the world, that they will take root in the heart of people all around the world so they may come to know Him as their Savior, have the promise of forgiveness and eternal life through Him, because His word is always effective. It always will accomplish the purpose for which He sends it, which is what we see here. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 11, we read, "Just as the rain and the snow come down from the sky and do not return there unless they water the earth, make it give birth and cause it to sprout, and it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so it will be with my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. Rather, it will accomplish whatever I please, and it will succeed in the purpose for which I sent it." This is the word of our God. Our second scripture lesson for this evening is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans tonight, chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. We read, "For I conclude that our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. In fact, creation is waiting with eager longing for the sons of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to futility, not by its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that even creation itself will be set free from slavery to corruption, in order to share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that all of creation is groaning with birth pains right up to the present time. And not only creation, but also we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly, while we eagerly await our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Indeed, it was for this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, Because who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for something we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patient endurance. This is the word of our Lord. Would you join together with me as we speak the words of the verse of the day? Alleluia. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you can obey it. Alleluia. Would you please stand out of respect for our gospel reading tonight? The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and also verses 18 through 23, the parable of the sower of the seed and Jesus' explanation of it. We read, "That same day Jesus left the house and was sitting by the sea. A large crowd gathered around him, so he stepped into a boat and sat down, while all the people stood on the shore. He told them many things in parables, saying, 'Listen, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. Immediately the seed sprang up, because the soil was not deep. But when the sun rose, the seed was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on good ground and produced grain, some 100 times, some 60, and some 30 times more than was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear.' So listen carefully to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the seed that was sown along the path, when they do not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. The seed that was sown on rocky ground is the person who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he is not deeply rooted and does not endure. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed that was sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the worry of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it produces no fruit. But the seed that was sown on the good ground is the one who continues to hear and understand the word. Indeed, he continues to produce fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times more than was sown. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ." My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ, who go out into the world with the seed of the gospel, so that we may do the will and work of our Savior. By a quick show of hands, how many people here have any experience with gardening or growing plants of some kind? The vast majority of people, it looks like. I'm going to be honest with you, and don't think any less of me, please. I know nothing about growing plants. Plants and I have a very, not even a love-hate relationship. We just dislike each other. I come from a subset of my family where we lovingly refer to ourselves as black thumbs. There's no plant you give us that we cannot kill. It's the way it is. But I at least understand the basics of how growing something works. That's basic biological science. The seed is planted and how it comes out and how it grows into something absolutely amazing when you figure what it starts with. It's something that God refers to here in our gospel lesson. The growth of seeds. Now, I do also know that if you want a seed to grow well, the soil it's planted in makes a pretty big difference. I remember a place we lived once, and everywhere around there, even the farmland around there, it just the way the earth was, it was all hard, thick clay. That didn't mean nothing could grow, it just meant it took a whole lot of extra effort. We had a garden, you had to pull the topsoil in, you had to make sure everything was tilled up, because if you didn't, it liked to revert to that nice, chunky, clumpy clay, and it made life that much more difficult for the people who farmed the land around it. The soil matters. In fact, you know what's really interesting to me? Do you know what some of the best and most fertile soil in the entirety of the world is? It's volcanic soil, Which is strange when you think about it, because when you think of a volcano, the things you think about is this absolute destruction, right? This upheaval as this molten hot magma is thrown into the air and it annihilates everything in its path. We think of it as destruction, and yet, in the aftermath of it all, what God uses, what God places there, is some of the best farmland to grow crops in anywhere in the world. God talks about planting seed tonight. He's not talking about growing crops like corn and soybeans, though. He tells a parable, and like all of his parables, it's something that has a double meaning. That's what a parable is. It's a story that means two things. What it's obvious and what is its spiritual meaning. We have a blessing tonight, though, in these parables, because most of the time Jesus gives a parable and we have to figure out what it means for ourselves. Sometimes it's simple. Sometimes we scratch our heads and go, I'm not exactly sure what he's trying to say here. But tonight, Jesus explains it because his disciples didn't get it. They asked him, explain the parable of the sower to us, and so he does. And now as we take a look here at this gospel lesson, we take a look both at his parable and his explanation. We're going to put them side by side so that he can explain his word to us, that word that he throws out into the world and is planted in the hearts. And what we see, what he wants his disciples to realize, both then and now, is that there needs to be a good garden for the gospel seed, so that it may take root, so that it may grow, and so that it may be sown again. Jesus starts out by explaining that things weren't exactly the easiest for him that day. In fact, right here, what Matthew is writing, what Matthew says, is that same day, I really encourage you, take a little time sometime to go back and read Matthew 11 and 12 and see the day that Jesus had at that point, because it was not a good day. He had faced persecution, even in his own hometown, they had rejected him. He had been busy and hard at work. How many of you haven't had those days before where everything seems to be going wrong and you're like, that's it, I'm done, I'm calling it a day. I'm going home, I'm locking myself in my room, and I'm not going to talk to people anymore because it's not going well. Jesus had had that day. And yet, what does he do? When he comes out of the house, the crowds that are following him, when they meet him at the lake shore, and he doesn't turn them away, he gets into a boat, goes out a little ways into the lake. He uses the open water as an open microphone system so they can hear him. And he says, listen to what I have to say. As he tells this parable that probably most of us have heard at one point. He talks about the man who goes out to sow the fields. It's not like modern day farming, is it? It's no big tractor that comes up and tills the row at the same time, plants the seed and covers it back up. We don't have that equipment. Now what Jesus is talking about really is the man you see walking with a bag pouch full of seed on his hip, and all he does is grabs a handful and throws them out and hopes something gets in the field. Hopes something grows. And as he throws out that seed, it talks about where it lands. He says some of it lands on the path. There is no place that is harder packed earth than the path that is traveled by people. Because that's what happens. You ever gone into the forest to do a hiking trail? You know where everybody else has walked, there's a trail. That trail is there because it's been walked. If you're a hunter, you know how to follow game trails because that's what the animals follow. Because walking through the underbrush is hard. That's where the seed is falling. For all we know, it could have been a stone or at least some kind of a paved path even. There's no way that seed is getting planted. There's no dirt there to plant in. And so what happens is it falls, the birds swoop in, they take their just rewards, they fly off, and it never even has a chance to grow. So Jesus says, how does this relate? What do I really mean? Because he's not talking about farming, he's not talking about gardening, he's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about the seeds of his word, the gospel, and being planted in the soil of human hearts and lives. He says, these are the people who have hard hearts. The ones that when I throw the seed out, there's no place for it to go. It bounces off. I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I don't want anything to do with the Bible. Why would I ever consider going to such nonsense and gibberish? Their hearts are hardened. They don't want to listen. And you know what? Satan loves that. Because Jesus says that Satan's the one who swoops in to steal that gospel from their lives. And he loves to do it. Because then it doesn't even have a chance to somehow find a crack in the hardened earth and take root. There's no chance left. It's been taken away. And so the gospel is removed from homes and lives and communities. It's not just people in the world. Even though we can find a whole lot of people who probably would fit that description, hardened hearts to the gospel and to who Jesus is, it's also something that we need to be aware of too. Because we can have hardened hearts. We can have hearts that yes, I know who my Savior is. I know what Jesus has done for me. I am so very thankful for it. And yet, I don't really want to do anything to serve Him. I don't really want to put myself out there. We've hardened our hearts to growing any kind of spiritual fruit and serving our Savior in any good way. The heart is hard. You have to till it. You have to see the reason, the necessity of His Word, and let it have a place to take root. And so now what happens next? You'll notice, even though it falls on the path, the sower continues to throw the seed. Maybe it'll fall somewhere else next time. And as it goes out this time, it doesn't fall upon the path. It says it falls into the rocky soil. And what happens? It immediately springs up because the soil is nice and warm. The problem is there's nothing underneath it for it to take root into. It runs into that rocky portion. And when the sun comes up, because it has no way of grabbing the water and the nutrients it needs to survive, it withers and it dies under the scorching heat. And so too, Jesus again explains, this is the people who accept the gospel. The gospel seed has been thrown out there. Jesus' word is proclaimed, and they accept it with joy right away, but they don't really want to have it take root. They really want to be invested in this. I don't want to put down roots. I don't want to dive deep into the soil of God's word. And then problem comes up. Trouble comes up, and we've got nothing to stand on. We've got nothing to grab what we need for life from. There's a lot of people in the world who we can say probably the same way. And they ask, why do I need to worry about this? Why would I need to have roots? Why would I need to be invested into the Scripture, into the Bible, and into God and everything He teaches? Why do I have to go to church more than Christmas and Easter? Why would I ever need to study His Word at home and have prayer life and devotion life? Why should I be reading His Bible? I don't get it. I don't want to dive deep. We can say that up for ourselves even. I want to come to church on Sunday or Monday night, and then that's good. I'm good for the week, right? I don't need to do anything more. As soon as I walk out those doors, I'll never give them a second thought until I come back. I don't need to pray at home. I don't need to be invested in His Word. I don't have to live my life in accordance with His will. We don't want to dive deep. We don't want to put down roots. The problem is, as soon as trouble comes up, what are we relying on? Where are we finding our strength? The sower continues to sow. He throws out the seed again. Now it falls among the thorns. So when it grows up, it looks good. As far as you can tell, everything's growing the way it's supposed to, until no fruit shows up, until it doesn't produce anything, because those thorns, those weeds, have sucked everything out of it that it needs for growth and for life and for health. And so Jesus explains. It's the one who grows with the Word, but then the worries of life, the problems of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the pursuit of all of these worldly things chokes out any chance we have of good, faithful service to our Savior, so no fruit is produced. How easy it is for that to happen. For all of us. For me too. For us to be so consumed with what's happening in the world today, get so consumed with all of the problems and all of the troubles, to let emotional health and physical health, financial concerns, to let all of that choke out any chance we have to say, my Savior comes first, and what He will give is more important than anything the world could consider giving. And we let the worries of life choke out any chance we have to produce a life of service and thankfulness to Him. And even in the midst of all of these terrible situations, as that seed is thrown out, the sower continues to sow. As that gospel seed is sent out once again, now Jesus says, and some falls on good ground. And what does it do? It sprouts up. It grows like it's supposed to. And when it's all said and done, it produces a harvest 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. It produces fruit. Because that's what it does. I mean, every plant, if it's healthy, that's what it does. You cannot have a healthy apple tree that does not produce apples. If it's healthy, it's going to do it, naturally. You cannot have a stalk of corn that is healthy that does not produce ears. It's the way it works. It's what it does. And so too for us, if that good gospel seed is planted firmly in our hearts, and I sure hope that we who are gathered here, that this is the way our heart is, that good soil, eager to hear the gospel, eager to have it take root in our lives, that is what our hearts are like. And what will happen then? As it grows, it will produce fruit. It has to. You know, God explains those fruits of faith. There's a couple sections in Scripture where He talks about them, but it's what we do in service and love for our Savior. And how can we not want to produce those fruits of faith? If we are honest with ourselves, if we know what it is that Jesus has done, how can we not thank Him with every breath we take? I was a miserable sinner, not deserving of anything good. I had rebelled against Him. I know what He has told me to do, and yet I still don't do it. And yet, He sent His only Son to die to take away my sin. And that blood has made me clean and pure in His sight so that I am forgiven and have the promise that I can live with Him forever in heaven. All of that is done because of Jesus. How can I not thank Him? How can I not praise Him with every single moment of my days? And those are the fruits of faith. As we live for Him, as we serve Him, as we follow His Word and follow His will, so we may show our thankfulness for all that He has done. And so that we can use the harvest to proclaim the message again. Because that's what happens. Everything that grows produces its own seed, right? Where do you get the seeds that are planted in the fields this year? They come from the harvest last year. And so as that crop grows, as it bears fruit, we are given more seed. And now it is our Savior who says, I am giving you the gospel seed, so go and sow the fields. Throw it out so that more people may come to know me as their Savior. They may have the promise of life. It's not always easy. It's not always easy because we know sometimes we throw it out and it hits hardened soil, and sometimes it hits shallow soil, and sometimes it hits those who are burdened by thorns. But that doesn't mean we stop sowing. Because there are those out there who long to hear the gospel. And that the Holy Spirit can do amazing, miraculous things in their lives. And so we sow the seed. I find it amazing that Christ uses people like us to proclaim His message and to sow the seeds of faith. Now He's going to make it grow. That's not on us. But He uses us to proclaim the gospel. And it will grow. Remember how I said, I find it amazing that some of the most fertile soil in the world is volcanic? That it comes about after this huge destruction and annihilation of everything in its path. That makes me wonder how true it is, the fact that we need to be broken and destroyed and our pride thrown aside, to realize that we are sinners before that gospel seed and the promise of one who has taken away that same sin can take root and do its amazing work. And yet when it does, in a broken life like me, it produces amazing fruit. This is the gospel seed we've been given. And Christ sends out and it grows. May we be the ones who now say, Lord, use me to be the one who sows the seed, because it will be effective and will accomplish everything you intend. Amen. Now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and our minds focused on Christ Jesus. Amen. We have the opportunity now to join together in confessing our Christian faith. Today we do so with the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's page 11 in your worship bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We come now before the Lord in prayer. O Lord God, we thank You for the wondrous gift of Jesus Christ, Your Son, and for the promised graces we have received through Him. We thank You that through His perfect life and His obedience to death on the cross, we have been granted cleansing and pardon for all our sins. We thank You that in His resurrection we have the promise of life everlasting, and that in His ascension to the right hand of Your Majesty, we have the assurance that He continually intercedes for us. Help us to believe and trust in Him, love and serve Him, that in all our thoughts, words, and actions we may manifest His Spirit. Rebuke our selfishness and subdue our self-indulgence. Deepen our sympathy, strengthen our hope, and confirm us in our faith. Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in You alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that we are, that You are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to You as the unfailing spring of healing and hope. And now hear us, Lord, as we bring You our private petitions. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Savior and Lord, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on Your faithful people. Keep us strong in Your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us Your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go now in peace. Live in harmony with one another and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. I thank you all for joining us in worship tonight. I have one announcement. This is Vacation Bible School Week. It is going to be on Thursday from 3 to 5:30 p.m. Change from our normal way of doing things. From 5:30 to 6:30 is our Christ picnic. It is put together with that VBS picnic, so please join us here if you'd like on Thursday. Again, 5:30 to 6:30. Church has hot dogs, buns, and water. Anything else that you want, we ask you to please bring on your own. We're staying away from passing dishes at least for a while until everything kind of gets back to normal with our health situation. That's all that I have. I guess one other thing on VBS, if you have or know someone who wanted to attend and didn't sign up, we have closed our enrollment. Please have them contact me directly. We'll see if we can't work something out, but we need to know our group sizes so we can try to keep our numbers down and do our best. God's richest blessings be with you until we see each other again.